We're back with Jackson Share Sports Radio. I'm joined by another Jackson, and we're here to talk about the upcoming NFL season. First things first, I just want to thank you again for joining me on Jackson Share Sports Radio.
Appreciate you for having me, my man.
Of course. So let's review. You probably don't have a list off the top of your head, but give me 10 quarterbacks that are going to do the best in fantasy football this year.
Okay.
I'll write these down with you.
Yeah, Mahomes for sure.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts, definitely.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Lamar just because of how good of a runner he is. And based off of that, I'm saying Justin Fields as well.
Oh, we'll have to get into that in a second.
Yeah, I'm going to say Josh Allen too. So there's five.
Okay. I like that.
Go Joe Burrow. Got to go Joe Burrow.
Always.
Have to. Who else we got? You know, this is – oh.
Possibly Herbert, Tua.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Jay Herbo. Herbert for sure.
I like that.
So there's seven, right?
Oh yeah. Ooh. Now you gotta get into some wild cards.
Yeah, this is where it gets tough. I'm gonna say based off how good he finished last year. Honestly, he was good for pretty much the whole year last year. I'm gonna say Jared Goff. Jared Goff is low key.
I like that a lot, actually. No, that's a good take. I really like that. Goff.
I'm also gonna say Derek Carr, just because of how he's in New Orleans now. He's got Chris Olave. I don't know if MT will stay healthy, but you know, I like the change of scenery there. I think he's gonna put up big O numbers with Olave. And then 10 is where it gets tough. I'm on the fence between Prescott, just because of how good of a regular season performer he is.
Yeah.
Now with Brandon Cooks there, so it's hard to count him out. Maybe Tua, just because of
Tyreek
Hill and Jalen Waddle.
I was gonna say Tua.
But health there is obviously an issue. You know what? I'm gonna say Tua. I'm gonna say Tua is gonna finish top 10.
I like it. I completely agree, by the way. I think Tua can finish top 10. Obviously, his health is an issue. We know that.
Right.
Getting concussed multiple times in a season is not ideal. But he's got two of the best receivers in the league. They're so fast. I don't see any chance he finishes outside of the top 10.
Exactly.
Totally, man. So now let's turn to some dark horse teams. What do we got? Like teams that people don't think are going to make the playoffs that will make a run.
See, you shouldn't have asked that question because I have an extreme bias towards my Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's exactly who I'm starting off with.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, great. I see the hat. I wasn't going to point it out, but, you know, I think this is a good time to break the ice there.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, man, I'm going to say Pittsburgh. You know, I love our roster this year. I love the addition of Allen Robinson, a veteran group, to that receiver room. KP's having a full offseason as a starting QB, plus an improved O-line, getting Isaac Samalu and Broderick Jones. And defensively, man, you know, we got some vets in Pat Pete now there, Keanu Neal. I love the additions of Joey Porter Jr. and Keanu Benton in the draft. Look, I think we got a solid roster this year, and year in, year out, we always make some noise. If Mike Tomlin was able to finish 9-8 with the roster we had last year, you know, I could definitely see at least 11 wins this year, 10 or 11 wins, maybe sneaking off into a playoff spot.
Oh, jeez. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. I think you guys lose both games to the Ravens, home and away. I mean, it's just they're going to win the division. I'm calling it first here. I get it, Burrow, and that division's heating up, but I think Lamar's too hot to handle. He's got receiving options now, and the defense is just god tier. Like,
right.
You can't go wrong with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith coming up the middle. You really can't.
That's true, but look, I don't know. I don't remember the last time the Ravens went 2-0 in a season against Pittsburgh. So.
That is true. You're right. You guys always steal one either at our house or over at you guys. So that's true. So the Steelers, who else we got for dark horses?
Steelers definitely one of them. Going to the NFC, it's an interesting situation, but I really like Carolina just because of – I love – the hiring of Frank Reich. Part of me still thinks they should have kept Steve Wilks, but Reich's a great hire to pair him with Bryce Young.
Right.
And Bryce Young was like the only question mark there. I love the rest of their roster. They got a lot of talent on offense, a lot of receiving options, to be honest. Between now Thielen and Chark, who they signed, Laviska Shenault is – he's apparently supposed to be the Deebo Samuel this year. There's a lot of talk about him having an extended role. So they got a lot of weapons there, plus the addition of Hayden Hurst and Miles Sanders, two other good free agent signings. And then defensively, they're getting a healthy J.C. Horn. They're getting a healthy Jeremy Chinn. J.C. Horn is locked down when he plays. I love the linebacker group with Shaq Thompson, a proven veteran, and Frankie Louvu, who popped off last year. The only question is Bryce Young. If Bryce Young can perform, then I think they're a fringe, like, seven-seed playoff team. I don't know if they'll be New Orleans for the division. I think New Orleans got that locked up with Derek Carr there now. But I do like that Panthers roster.
I think that NFC South is probably going to be the most interesting division. Just to see, like, with all the teams, like, no one knows what's going to happen. And the Bucks, I mean, they've got Baker Mayfield throwing. I mean, I saw a bunch of training camp stuff. Him and Trask, Kyle Trask, they cannot hit throws. They can't hit their receivers in open space. How are they going to do it in a game? I don't even know.
Right. It's a question mark between who's going to start in Tampa Bay. And then in Atlanta, we don't know what we have with Desmond Ridder yet. We have a small sample size on him. So I do like the addition of Bijan Robinson, though. They're another low-key dark horse team.
I love that.
Because they got a lot of veterans on defense, too. Jesse Bates, low-risk, high-reward trade with Jeff Okuda. Love the additions of Calais Campbell and David Onyemata on the D-line. They got an underrated roster there. And if young pieces on offense could pull it together, then, hey, they could be cooking in Atlanta.
Right. I think they could. And, I mean, it makes the division – I guess, winner or the decider, it makes it all the more entertaining, which I'm very excited about.
Right.
So that could be good. Any others? Any other dark horses that you got?
Oh, you know, I got one in mind. Okay. I'm staying in the NFC. I'm going to say Green Bay.
Oh, I was going to go in that division with the Bears, but I'll hear you out first.
I like the Bears pick. I can see that. They assigned a lot of people, but Green Bay, just because there's a lot of good talk about Jordan Love in camp so far. I know Jair Alexander recently just had some nice words to say about him. But, you know, he sat behind Rodgers all those years. I'm just going to have to assume he's going to figure it out. And, I mean, they still got a great running back room with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. If Bakhtiari can stay healthy and Elgin Jenkins, then the O-line is fine. And that receiver room, low-key, is looking underrated heading into this season because Christian Watson popped off at the end of last year.
Right.
If Romeo Dubs could stay healthy, he'd be a very solid slot receiver. Plus, they got a lot of dudes in the draft and undrafted free agents. Jaden Reed from Michigan State. Ontavion Wicks from Virginia. There's another guy, Greg Dubose from Charlotte. And then they also signed Deuce Watts from Tulane as a free agent. He was a beast at Tulane. He's mad underrated. I'm rooting for him to make the team heavy. But, yeah, I like – it's a really young offense, don't get me wrong. But with the division they're in, the Vikings, they lost a lot of pieces. I'm not saying they're necessarily going to have a massive fall-off, but they still lost a lot of pieces.
Right.
We don't know what we have with Chicago yet. And Detroit got a lot of great guys on defense now, which was the main concern last year. But, again, I need to see it to believe it.
Totally.
Now, I guess same thing with the Packers offense, but I'm assuming here. I think Jordan Love he steps up. And they still got some pieces on defense as well. Jair Alexander's there, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark. I'm expecting a jump from Quay Walker and Deontay Wyatt, two guys from Georgia that they drafted last year. So, you know, I like what they got going in Green Bay. They definitely have a shot in that division. And I think Jordan Love's going to shock a lot of people.
See, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to fade Jordan Love. And I'm going to think that Justin Fields is going to step up big time. And I think he's going to have, I wouldn't say an MVP type season, but I would say he really steps up, helps, carries his team on his back. I mean, he did that last year. Guy was running for his life the entire season. But I think with more offensive weapons, the additions of Chase Claypool, I think that is going to play a key role into the Bears' success this year.
I like that take. I'm a big Justin Fields guy. I think he gets a lot of unnecessary hate because a lot of people are saying, oh, he can't pass. Well, you pointed out, he didn't have a whole lot of time, like, just back there. He was running for his life. And B, he's got a lot of weapons now. between DJ Moore and
he's good.
There's been some word about Chase Claypool not really, you know, trying in camp. They haven't been very happy with him. But with DJ Moore there now, I like that. Darnell Mooney, underrated. And then the defense side of the ball too. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. I love the draft pick of Tyreek Stevenson from Miami, and Jaquan Brisker's set that a huge breakout year. So Chicago, they got something brewing there. I don't know if they'll put it all together right away. I expect more of a jump next season, but I say the future's pretty bright there.
Future is definitely bright, and I think going back to Detroit for a second, I think Detroit really has some opportunity. I think Jared Goff can step up, and I mean, I even heard talks of Hendon Hooker possibly taking over that starting spot. It's a possibility. I know it's very early, but you know, I've got some high hopes for that team. I think that they've got a lot of youth and a lot of talent, and most of all, team chemistry, which I think is the biggest thing in this league other than skill.
Yeah, and Dan Campbell's a heck of a head coach. I love Dan Campbell, and I think he's going to be able to get it together there. Just the defense is the question mark, because last year they were historically bad. But right. Additions of Jack Campbell, Brian Branch to the draft, two studs. You've got Cam Sutton in free agency, plus C.J. Gardner-Johnson. The secondary is beefed up. I like what they're building there in Detroit.
I second that, definitely. I see and, I mean, Dan Campbell also makes me – he just motivates. Like, I'm not even on the team. He makes me want to play for the team. Makes me want to run through a wall. This guy is, like, the ultimate – talk about a motivator. That guy gets me going.
That's – dude, he's like – he's pre-workout. That's what Dan Campbell is.
He is pre-workout. Literally. So I guess turning to more of the contenders, that's, you know, sort of the dark horses in the league. Who do we got contenders for the Super Bowl, this year? I mean, obviously we can go Chiefs, Bills, Bengals all day. And then obviously we could throw the 49ers in there if we really want to with Brock Purdy. But I'll leave that up to you and then I'll join it.
Yeah. If I were to make a prediction of who's going to make the Super Bowl right now, it's very early, but looking at everyone's rosters based off of paper. It's hard. I'm not going to say Kansas City. There's no way they do it again.
It's not back-to-back.
With Eric Bieniemy gone, I'm not going to say that offensive back Mahomes is going to take a massive step back or anything. But I don't see him making the Super Bowl again. And plus, it's hard to repeat. It's really difficult to do that in the NFL. I think the Bills window is running very slim here. There's talks about Stephon Diggs being frustrated, a lot of veterans on defense getting older, plus they just lost Tremaine Edmonds, who was a key part of that defense. So their window is shrinking, and I don't think they pull it together this year. I hate to say it, but I like Cincy. I know it hurts me to say it, but they continue to build up that roster, and Joe Burrow gets better every year. I mean, you're going to have a healthy receiver core with Chase, Higgins, Tyler Boyd. That defense, they continue to get better, and there's like guys like Cam Taylor-Britt who's going to step up at corner, plus him, Chidobe Awuzie. Even though they lost Von Bell and Jesse Bates, they drafted Daxton Hill for a reason. I think the defense is going to be all right. It's hard, like they look like the most well-rounded team the AFC right now.
Here's my thing. A couple years ago, this is a little story time. A couple years ago, I had the Falcons. So I won my fantasy football league. We won, I think it was like $1,000. It was insane. Put all of that money, not all of it, but three quarters of it on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl in November. I'm sitting there at halftime. I'm like, dude, they're going to win. I'm like, we're going to get a huge payout. And I'm just sitting there the entire second half, just like shaking. I'm nervous. And I've never seen a quarterback choke like that before. And I think when you lose the Super Bowl like that, even like from Burrow's standpoint, when you get to the big game and you lose in that stage and in that moment, you just never get back. I have this thing. I've got this theory, and I don't think any other quarterback will be able to do that like in our lifetime. So I think this open spot, I know there's a little bias, I think it opens spots up for the Ravens. And I think the Ravens obviously almost beating the Bengals in the playoffs last year. I think, and that's without Lamar. I think they've got a real good shot to actually win the division and possibly go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, I hate to say it, but I am a big Lamar fan. I just hate that he's a Raven. I do like Lamar. But the thing, and the point you made with Matt Ryan, I think that's a great point, and that should be looked into more. But I think Joe Burrow's, he has something different about him.
You're right.
His confidence is out of this world. He's a different breed. So, you know, I think he's going to work his tail off to get back to the Super Bowl, and he's going to win one eventually, and it's going to suck for the both of us, but
I know.
He's going to get there.
I think he's, you know what, I really agree with you on that one. And I think Joe Burrow is just a different breed. You know, his mindset, the way he thinks, the way he processes things, it's out of this world. And I think a guy like Josh Allen, I get it. He's great talent-wise, confidence-wise. I can see that he's not as confident as Joe Burrow, anywhere close to that. And that's why I don't think he'll ever get to a Super Bowl. I'm not sure, though. What do you think about that?
Josh Allen, man. I don't know.
He's a man of the people. You can't hate him. I don't hate him. I love him. He's amazing. He's got great talent, great guy, hometown hero. I just don't see him winning a Super Bowl. You know, with whatever talent he has in the future, with whatever receivers and defense, I just don't see it.
Right. And you can just tell some dudes have it and some dudes don't.
Right.
I mean, I definitely believe – I think Josh Allen has to get, you know, turnovers under control. And half the time I feel like he's kind of being held back because the team is like, yo, Josh, we want you to run, but we don't want you to get hurt. So he can only do so much in the run game. And I feel like they're preventing himself from, you know, going to his full potential. But, like, he can't really help that, right? You got to keep the man healthy. But, no, I 100% see what you're saying.
Right. And, I mean, even – I'm not going to, you know, take a crap on Lamar, but I think he just – I don't think he has that. I think he can grow. Actually, you know what? That's terrible. You can't grow that. You're born with that. You've got the confidence or you don't. Mahomes has got it. Burrow has 100% got it. I think Jalen Hurts has a swagger. You know, like that. Those types of quarterbacks, they've got the gene, the clutch gene. I just don't see that with Lamar, with Josh Allen, Kenny Pickett.
Well, just throwing him
in
crazy.
There. Just throwing him in there.
Kenny Pickett's got that gene. He had a couple game winning drives last year.
He against the Ravens too. I've watched that game live. I have never been more bored. I've never been more bored in my entire life during that game. That was absolutely brutal.
That's Steelers football, baby. We wait till the last drive. We're gonna make it the most boring game in the world, and you're gonna like it.
Oh my god. Oh. Okay. So I got a couple other discussion questions for you, two more, and then some stuff about your like Instagram and stuff like that. That's different.
Gotcha, bro.
So, I put this on my podcast before. I'll give my opinion after this. Do you think NFL running backs are getting paid enough?
So I think there's a couple ways you can look at this. Let's look at it from the running back's perspective.
Right.
You are being asked to have probably the most, I guess, like, taxing job, if you will, when it comes to, you know, injuries and stuff like that. You're running in between the tackles, you're getting hit by, you know, these massive linebackers, and on top of that, you're being asked to catch the ball, and not only that, to block as well in the pass game every now and then. So when you look at it from a running back standpoint and you see how much the receivers are getting paid, it's like, yeah, I'm doing that and more than the receivers, I should be getting paid wide receiver money. But you look at it from the team standpoint, and it's like, okay, the running back, you know, shelf life is only so high. There's not going to be an Eric Dickerson and Frank Gore every year. They're not going to last that long. And that's kind of the situation with Dalvin Cook right now. Like, we've seen the fall off with running backs. Like, Todd Gurley was one, David Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Le'Veon's a different situation because he, you know, ruined his career by going to New York. But still – You see that with running backs, and from a team's perspective, you're like, we can't really give you that much money because it is the most replaceable position in football. Because look at other backs like Austin Eckler, Jalen Warren, and when Chris Carson was playing, all these late round picks and undrafted guys, they come in and step up. It's like, okay, we don't need to be paying a running back all that money. But when you have guys like Christian McCaffrey, it's harder to not give them that money. So I do think, out of respect for the running backs, I do think they should get paid more, but I see why they don't.
I completely agree. I understand that their shelf life like you mentioned, is it's limited, you know, and they're a lot of running backs don't really last until, you know, past 30, really. Like, when you don't see a lot of running backs last past 30, we saw it with Todd Gurley, like you mentioned. The guy was playing out of his mind, MVP level, 1 year. Next year, he's on the Falcons, and he's hurt. He's banged up. He can't play, and he's never the same again. So, I mean, it comes down to that. And, I mean, in terms of – I have the stats right here. In terms of, like, Christian McCaffrey and Kamara being the two highest-paid running backs, in terms of Saquon's sake, I think he should be getting money. I think he should be getting paid. I think the Giants are making a mistake not paying him. And I think if he goes elsewhere, a team should pay him because he's worth it. He can pass. He can catch and run the ball. You know, that guy is an absolute beast. So I think running backs should be getting paid more. And $16 million for the top running back, Christian McCaffrey, per year, I think that's a little light. You know, for Tyreek Hill, obviously it's Tyreek Hill, but I mean, $30 million a year is kind of crazy. You know, compared to $16 million, that's twice. That's literally almost twice McCaffrey's salary. So, I don't know.
Right, and you got to keep in mind, guys like McCaffrey had a year where he had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's insane. And I agree with Saquon. Like, he deserves the money 100%. Even with his injury history, we saw what he did in New York last year. He single-handedly carried that offense.
Literally.
Hardly any receiver help because they kept, like, Sterling Shepard got hurt. Wandale Robinson got hurt. And Daniel Jones, he stepped up a little bit, but still, like, yeah, Saquon was the heart of that offense, and I assume he'll be the heart of that offense assuming he plays this year and doesn't hold out for a contract.
Completely.
He definitely deserves the money.
Completely agree. And I mean, it's really, I'm looking here, the top guys, except Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb, they're all receiving backs. They can all catch the ball. Aaron Jones, let's see. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, not Miles Sanders, but Austin Eckler. That was the biggest surprise to me. $6 million per year? Are you kidding me? The guy is a fantasy football machine. He catches, he runs the ball. He's literally their offense. I mean, I get it, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen was banged up last year. But Mike Williams, you know, he gets bottled up, you know, a couple games. And you got you're stuck with Austin Eckler. This guy went off for, I think it was 3 touchdowns against the Texans last year. So I think he should be getting paid a little more than $6 million a year, at least.
Yeah, Austin Eckler's another guy who does it all in the pass game and in the run game. Plus, he was part of an awful offense last year with, you know, I think it was Joe Lombardi as their offensive coordinator. They got him out of there. But, yeah, that offense was not pretty last year. And Austin Eckler did a lot to keep it together, at least as much as he could. So, yeah, he's another guy. And a lot of those guys you listen to, even Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb, the guys who aren't catching the ball out of the backfield that often. I mean, Derrick Henry, he's like, what, 28 now? And he's been raining through the dirt.
Literally. Chubb too. Chubb is like a small guy. He gets caught up in those like big, big defensive tackles that are trying to tackle him. I mean, they're all risking their lives, pretty much. They're running through this huge hole with, like, 6 defenders pouncing on them. So I think they should definitely be getting paid a little more than $6 million a year, especially with, like, guys like Odell. I mean, I get it. I'm a Ravens fan. But $15 million? Are we serious? There are 3 other guys on the team that can do exactly what he does, and he's getting paid $15 million. So, you know, it's probably a discussion that could take place for longer, but – I definitely think that running backs should be getting paid more. And I don't know what else to say. I really don't.
I agree. Hopefully Bijan Robinson can come in and really revolutionize you would think Christian McCaffrey would have, what he did, you know, that would have been enough. But
yeah.
Hopefully Bijan could step it up for the running backs.
We'll see, man. I don't know. But I do have another question, and this is separate. I saw this on your Instagram, because I've been following you. Do you think the fullback position is dead or dying? I know you probably think it's dying. I'll present my opinion in a second. I just want to hear what you think.
I think, for the most part, yes. Now, there are certain teams like Baltimore and San Francisco who still use guys like Patrick Ricard and Kyle Buschek. But since the league is becoming more pass-heavy now, A lot of fullbacks, and Andy Reid made the point that, look, you could just stick a tight end there, which is completely right. And we saw the Rams last season throw Ben Skowronek, a wide receiver who's maybe like 190 pounds soaking wet, threw him at fullback, and he balled out there. He was out there running swing routes, running wheels, and it was hard to stop him. So I do think for most offenses, like, they don't really need a fullback anymore.
Right.
And because, like, I'll use the Steelers as an example, too. We had Derek Watt for the past, you know, like, 3-4 seasons, and he was mainly just a special teams guy. And at the time, he was one of the highest paid fullbacks in the league, and we're just using him for special teams. Every now and then, he'd come in and maybe get a one-yard run or, you know, have to block on the goal line or something, but it really wasn't that often. So we keep seeing fullbacks being utilized less and less. And unless you're as dynamic as Patrick Ricard and Kyle Juszczyk, there's just not a place for you in most offenses now.
I totally agree. And sticking the tight end at fullback is what most teams do. And I mean, in terms of blocking too, tight ends, fullbacks, same thing in terms of blocking. Like literally George right. Kittle, you could put George Kittle in the back and he's going to be just as good of a blocker at fullback than, you know, than he would be a tight end. You know, it's kind of like that. And tight ends like George Kittle, Travis Kelce is obviously a pass catcher mainly, but you stick them at fullback and they'll do the same job as a fullback pretty much.
Right. And you could put defensive tackles there too. We've seen
people definitely
the big guys over there. So yeah, it's tough for fullbacks. And I feel bad for them because there's been some great fullbacks over the past years, like Vontae Leach in Baltimore, I'm sure you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
He was tough. Marcel Reese was another guy.
Yes.
In Oakland. And then, like, even going way back to, like, Mike Allstott.
I was going to say Mike.
And then Jim Brown, too. And I think Franco Harris was listed as a fullback, too.
So he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that is literally what a fullback is and what – the definition of a fullback, you know, those guys that you named, Franco Harris, Mike Allstott, like those are the guys. And those are the guys that created that position. And I guess, I don't want to say pioneered the position, but they were like the main guys to start, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this. I was just trying to say that they're the main guys behind the fullback position and it's sort of died off.
They gave the fullback position a reason to be in football because the fullback,
right.
When people look at it now and over the past, you know, few years, they just see it as, oh, just a guy who blocks and on special teams and maybe every now and then on offense.
Totally.
But it used to be someone who was a big dude who was a dynamic runner and could block when needed as well. And that, like, you just look at Mike Allstott's tape. That's exactly what he was. They'd give him the ball, he'd run up the middle, he'd break five tackles. Like, that's what they were meant to do. And it sucks that, you know, the position is dying. And now, like, younger generations, they're not going to want to be fullbacks, right? Because there's no one playing the fullback position now. So as more people see that, and as long as the league keeps, I guess, as it elevates, we're
right.
not going to see the fullback position used very often, though, which sucks, but it's the way it is. Hopefully the run game can make a return. But, you know, I blame guys like Patrick Mahomes for making it such a pass-heavy league.
Totally. So I guess now in terms of, like, your Instagram, I definitely want to hear some things. This is, like, not really a part of the show, but I'll make it a part of the show, whatever. I guess, how do you market your Instagram? You know, how do you make it so you got a bunch of people following you, got a bunch of people, you know, viewing your stuff? I've been trying like for literally years. Oh, it'll end in 10 minutes. It's fine. I've been trying for like literally a year, 2 years, and I still can't get above 200 followers on Instagram for my show. So it's, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. If there's a special secret or I don't know.
Instagram is tough. Instagram is really tough to grow on there. It's just because the way the algorithm works with Instagram Reels and stuff, because that's, I just post Reels on my Instagram, all the videos that I post on TikTok. And it's, I had one like very early on that popped off. So I got lucky there, but the way the algorithm works now, it's tough to grow, but I found recent success in my Hidden Gem series where I highlight players who aren't getting a lot of attention, mostly in college football, because I could go all day about how like ESPN and the media sucks, because there's so many great players who aren't getting a lot of attention. Like, these guys are putting up crazy numbers, yet no one's talking about them. In CapCut, but I switched over to Premier Pro. I paid the money. It was a game changer. Premier Pro is awesome. But yeah, that's basically the process for that.
Premier Pro, is that an app on like an iPhone, or is that like a computer thing, or?
It's a computer thing. It's an Adobe software.
Okay. How much does that cost a month, do you think? Or do you know?
For students, I think it's maybe like 20 or 30 something a month. Okay. Along those lines.
Okay. I'll look into it. I'm looking to, you know, start discussions. I'm looking to start discussions. I'm looking to start engaging with my followers a little more, or engaging with fans and, you know, people on Instagram, and I guess voicing their opinions, but not only mine, but theirs.
Right. And, you know, the best way to do that is just like asking questions, and then sometimes you have to have some bold takes. Like, if you really want to grow, you got to say some outlandish stuff, which I try not to do that much, because I know like a lot of people, I will say this, and this isn't a shot at any content creator, because everyone has their own flow. They did their own thing, and, you know, I respect what they do. But I hate when guys just go out there and just absolutely just crap on players. Like, people will make a video about Justin Fields, like, he's awful, he can't throw. And I hate doing that, because these guys work their tails off every day to get to the NFL. They've worked countless hours, and just for, you know, some 5'10 white kid like me to just absolutely dog on him. Like, I don't know nothing about the NFL. I don't know what goes into a game plan and anything. The last thing these guys need is another guy to just absolutely crap on him. So I try not to do that, but sometimes you got to do that if you want, you know, some engagement. But I try to stay clear from that.
I mental note taken. I've noted it in my head, man. I'm not gonna throw that many shots, but, you know, maybe one or two a day, something like that.
Look, when it's, you know, NFL season and I'm watching the Steelers and someone does something stupid, I'm gonna say that right then and there. It's like, oh, that guy's awful. I don't really mean it.
I mean, Kenny Pickett Super Bowl.
So hey, it's coming soon. KP's gonna lead us there to the promised land.
It could happen. Well, oh, God. Sorry. Thank you so much for joining me today, man. Definitely keep in touch. I'm going to try to grow, you know, the social media. I'll keep in touch for sure. And I guess closer to the NFL season, I'll have you back on.
I appreciate it, my man. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, any help you need, I'm here, bro.
Let's do it. See you later, man.
See you, man. You take care.
You too. Peace out. That was Jackson. Well, we discussed his first name was Jackson Trump. No relation to Donald Trump. Don't worry about it. But I will see you guys on the next podcast episode. Hopefully you enjoyed this and enjoyed the rankings for Jackson Share Sports Radio podcast. See you guys in the next podcast episode. Peace out.